we have all worked together, thrown ourselves into practice, had difficulties, pain, sleepiness, frustration, and we've all come through that. A retreat like this is a precious opportunity. It's not all fun and games, but it's a precious opportunity. I trust you can see from your own experience that this is something worthy of living out in our lives. It's not just something to do for a couple of days. A retreat is very valuable, but it's not something that ends when we leave the retreat. We don't carry the retreat with us. That just creates more problems, huh? We don't try to arrange our family lives like it was a session, like a retreat. We don't try to escape from our duties and work and family so that we can get enlightened. Our duties, our family, our job becomes the place of our practice. In a way, it's much easier. It's much easier in a way. And in a way, it's much harder. But that doesn't matter. The essential point is, here at this retreat, we have given ourselves to the practice. When we go back to the world, so to speak, we don't need to bring this with us. In the deepest sense, what we have touched, what we have tasted in this retreat, and you all know it, is not something that comes and goes. It's not something that you can attain or lose. Seeing through that in our daily lives is just as important as the retreat, although it's of a different character, natural enough. When you go back to your family, don't keep a distance. Don't try to hold on to your samadhi, concentrated oneness. Give yourself to your family, your loved ones, as you gave yourself to the practice here. Embrace your loved ones. Embrace the challenges and the problems that may be there. Let them be your teacher at the moment, your precious teacher, showing you what is lacking, a blind spot. You may find yourself bowing in thanks to those difficulties rather than disliking them, trying to run away from them. I'm not suggesting you create difficulties, of course, but they will come. And when they do, we can either fight with them, try to run away from them, or we can embrace them. When we embrace them, they become a precious teacher. You see, the same holds true in the retreat. In a sense, when things are going very smoothly, there tends to be a little laziness, a little self-complacency. When it's very, very tough going, very, very difficult, pain, sleepiness, frustration, whatever, this is where the sparks can fly. So again, when you go home, go home. Embrace your family. Remember the sacrifice they have made so that you could be here. Your co-workers. And then do your work. What must be done is the work, the practice of the moment. Do you see? With that, you can't step out of your practice. Your practice doesn't end. What must be done is practice of the moment. And when nothing needs to be done, take a break, relax, prepare, enjoy yourself, rest. But when something needs to be done, instead of standing on the sidelines and judging whether we want to do it or not, or disliking it, if we simply throw ourselves into it and do what must be done, that is the practice of the way at that moment. Then your practice cannot be really disturbed. The challenges become fertile ground, fertile earth for you to cultivate, to serve others. Your ears and your heart has opened, I think, in the last few days, huh? When you go back to the world, so to speak, you will hear the joy of the world in the bird song and elsewhere. You will also hear the pain, the distress, the dis-ease in the world. And I trust you will be able to respond. Do not close yourself off to anything. I have no qualms, no problem with talking about being a Buddhist in a profound sense of the term, but many Westerners feel uncomfortable about this. I suppose it has to do with Buddhism. It's kind of a religion, and religion isn't a very popular thing nowadays. Anyway, whatever we call it, when you go back to your daily life, it's important to live in accord with this. Do you see? Doesn't mean you have to put on robes and become a Buddhist monk or nun. That's a very profound thing to do. But it's not necessary. What is necessary is to live in the deepest sense in accord with this. Do you see? And that may involve going to church. May involve talking with your troubled child or friend. But in accord with this, inseparable from this. In that sense, perhaps we're all Buddhists or Buddhas, Buddhas in the making. I'm not talking about now you all have to get a Buddhist altar and make full bows to it every day in front of your family, probably to the horror of your neighbors. But rather, I'm talking about bowing to the other. Not actually having to get down on the ground. That's usually misunderstood. Making a full bow down on the ground. No, but bowing in your heart to the other. That's the best way, perhaps, to continue what has become clear in this retreat, is to go back to the world and to live simply in accord with this. In the beginning, Seen asked the question about when we go back and we want to explain this, tell about this to people. Indeed, sometimes they understand, they may even become interested and come to the retreat. But it's not uncommon for people to have no idea what you're talking about. If they don't have some experience with this kind of thing, it doesn't have to be Buddhist, it could be a Christian retreat or climbing up in the mountains for days. I remember doing a retreat and meeting someone who happened to come down from spending a week really high up in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. And we had the same eyes. We looked at each other. And we had the same eyes. And so we started talking. And it was very interesting. He wasn't doing a retreat. He was, backpacking deep in the mountains. I was doing a Zen retreat. But we happened to meet. He was just coming down the mountain. I was just going up the mountain. But our eyes met, and we saw the same thing. So we talked for a while, and he was all kind of sunburned around the edges where he didn't have clothes. But you could see it in his eyes. So again, there's more than one way to skin a cat, as we say. It doesn't have to be a Zen retreat, but people can know. They don't have to do a Zen retreat. They can know, and you can share it with them. But sometimes words, explanations, are the worst way to go about it. Words can express a lot. In Zen, we talk about not relying on words and letters, but we also take great care in the words and the letters that we use and choose. But in this case, Seen, I think maybe better than trying to describe it or explain it, sometimes it works. Perhaps just do what you do, and maybe people will be curious and ask you. You can share this without discussing Buddhism or even the retreat. People have eyes, they can see. So maybe a good way is to find where they connect with this in their lives and speak about it from there. Do you see what I mean? When you listen to that music, huh? Perhaps that's a way, huh? Or even when you play golf, well, maybe that's as close as they come to meditation. I don't know, I don't play, but some people speak of it as a religion. But do you see that can be a way for them and a way for you to describe what you do?
That ninth hole was a pain in the ass, wasn't it?
Please do take great care in going back home. If you need to have some coffee or take a little rest, please do take great care in going home. Keep your eye open for teachers all around. All around. People in the West so often tell me, oh, but we don't have qualified teachers here. It's a big problem. And yet, if our eye is open, the teachers are everywhere. Everywhere. The children we meet. The songbird in the tree. The pain in your leg. Speaking of that pain in the leg, would anyone like to stand up and stretch for a minute? Please feel free. Does anyone have a question or a concern coming to the end of the retreat? Half of us, I think just about exactly half of us, will be going on to Stale, and where we'll do a 5-day retreat. Half of you will not. So, does anyone have a question or a concern as we come to the end of this retreat? Seen, have I responded adequately to your question the first day? Does anyone else have a question or concern? It's been a wonderful retreat. This is a very stripped down, simple environment for a retreat. Almost like getting the relatives together, huh? Getting the clan together, as we would say in America. Having the relatives come together and spend some time. Very intimate, very bare bones, I think we called it before. But it seems to work very well. Maybe at the end we'll have a chance to go around and everyone can give their frank feedback. That would be appreciated. But I would just like to thank everyone for making this such a smooth, seamless retreat. Haram is the one who discovered this place and did a lot of the organizing. Liz is the one who brought all of the paraphernalia. The little bit that we use probably filled up your car pretty well. And everyone, all of us, working together, the head monk, sitting like a rock, standing up like an old man, and then sitting like a rock again. Huh? Marvelous. Again, a wonderful teaching for all of us. Huh? If there are no questions or concerns, okay. I would suggest we take a little break for some coffee or tea if you'd like. meet back here, and then we'll have one more Zazen period. If anyone feels the need then to do one-on-one, we'll do it the old style. I will remain sitting, and you can come up and bow, and then we'll both go out together. Is that clear? So if anyone feels the need to have one-on-one, again, simply quietly stand up from your seat, come over, bow to me, I will bow to you, then follow me and we'll go out for one-on-one.